The famed World War II correspondent Ernie Pyle was covering the action in North Africa in 1943 when a fellow reporter named Dick Bruner met up with him. Bruner, now retired in Port St. Lucie, was writing for the armed forces newspaper Stars and Stripes. He was on his way to the front in northern Tunisia.
Going up to the front was when I met up with Hal Boyle, the AP, and Ernie Pyle, Scripps Howard, Jack Barnett of Movie Tone News. So I joined them. We were hitchhiking, and we stopped in an apple orchard to stay overnight because the army was bivouacked in that orchard. On one side of the orchard was a monastery, on the other side was a British evacuation hospital. So we were sitting in a big perambulator tent having dinner. All of a sudden, a British sergeant opens the flap of the tent and he says, "Gentlemen, Jerry is overhead dropping flares and we expect a bomb at any moment." So we jump out of the place and we run under trees and dove. The first bomb landed on the side of the monastery. Then Jerry circled around, came back and dropped another bomb on the other side. That one night, I was feeling pretty sick to the stomach, not sleeping too well, but I had to sleep not in the big tents with the civilian correspondents. I was an enlisted man. I had to undo my pup tent. And I did it down by the latrine since I was feeling so terrible. About 1 o'clock in the morning, I hear Ernie Pyle. I didn't know it was Ernie Pyle. Of course, I just heard footsteps. I was relieved to see that it was Ernie. When he came over, he said, "Dick, are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." He said, "Well, I wanted to just check on you and see how you're doing. And if you needed another blanket or something, I'd be happy to get it." I said, "Ernie, I appreciate it, but no, I'm fine." The next morning, a suicide squad of British officers and enlisted men went out and started detonating the bombs that hadn't gone off. One of them was bending over one of the bombs when it went off and splattered him all over the place. Then others went around, picked up his leg and his arms and this, that, and the other thing, and they marched over towards the hospital right past us. Ernie was as white as a sheet. We were all white as a sheet, and my stomach really got upset. Once again, Ernie went through the same darn thing of checking with each of us to see that we were okay. You just couldn't help loving this guy. He was just a tremendous individual.
And a wonderful journalist.
The people back home loved the reports that he sent back, but the GIs thought he was really something special. When Ernie one time went back home for a brief visit, he came back. I now had a radio program on the Armed Forces Radio Network. I said, "Ernie, you've got to come on my show." And he said, "Dick, I'm scared to death of radio." He said, "NBC Radio offered me quite a bit of money to go on, and I turned them down." I said, "Ernie, this is for the GI." So he said, "Okay, Dick, I'll do it with two qualifications. One, we do a script, and two, we sit down during the broadcast." And I said, "Fine." So I guess it was the next day I went over to his room at the Aleti Hotel.
This was in Algiers.
Yes. When I got there, he poured me a drink. I sat on the edge of his bed, and he sits at his typewriter. And he said, "Dick, let's see, what would be the first question you would ask me? You'd ask me, what's it like back home?" And he's typing out. He did the whole damn script.